In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we celebrate the feast of St. Kateri Tekakwitha, one of our American saints. And I wish that as the church in the United States grows and continues to deepen in its understanding of our Catholic faith, that one day we will have the love and the loyalty and the devotion and the festivity for our American saints that so many of our European believers, fellow believers, have for their saints. Go to these small little villages and they celebrate their saints. It's a big deal. Sometimes no one else has heard of these saints except this little village. But that's their saint and they're so happy and they're so proud of that saint. And they have such marvelous festivities and so on. But sometimes as Americans, we have these beautiful saints and sometimes we don't even know who they are. Like St. Kateri, what? Right? Mother Drexel, who? Right? Mother Seton, what? These are American saints. They grew up right here in our culture. They were nurtured in this culture as they responded to the gospel and sought to cooperate with grace. So they're a great help to us, especially St. Kateri Tekakwitha, who was one of our Native American saints and the first canonized person of North America. Seen before all of our other American saints, she was first and very endearing. Now, truth be told, when I was in high school and early college, I wanted to start reading Lives of the Saints. You read about other saints and they say that's how their path to holiness began. They started reading about the lives of other saints. I thought, sounds good to me. I'll start reading the lives of saints, right? So the first real biography I read of a saint was actually of St. Kateri Tekakwitha. I can't even recall where I got the book. Someone must have given it to me. And here I am reading this book and I'm like so excited, right? So this young mind and fresh and wanted to be inspired by this saint. I'm reading her life. Parents die when she's young. Okay. She has smallpox. Almost dies herself. Okay. She's practically blind because of the smallpox. Okay. She has massive scarring because of her sufferings and is very unattractive. In fact, considered repulsive by some. Right. Okay. She hears the message of the gospel and is completely captivated by the message of Jesus Christ and wants to completely commit her life to him. She accepts Christian baptism and is ousted out of her tribe because she's not welcome there anymore because she's now a Christian. She's willing to give up everything, and she did. She lost everything, family, friends, support, everything. Remember, she's blind. She also had some physical disabilities. She needed the help, and she lost all of it. She ends up having to go live into the mission. And there in the mission, she decides, well, I'll become a religious sister. And Mother Church says no. So she really deeply felt a call to religious life. And the church said no. And she had to struggle with that. Where do I fit? She did not feel called to marriage. And truth be told, she didn't have any pressing suitors. And she felt called to religious life, but the church said no, and she accepted that. So she didn't know what to do. So she took on her own little regimen of prayer and selfless service. She sought to go out to the others who were forgotten, who were considered not much, the ones who were on the peripheries. And she began to do small acts of charity, very hidden, very unknown until later, after many of them until were not known until after she died. But she just lived her life with the sacraments, prayer, selfless service, long suffering, redemptive suffering. And she ended up living what in the church today we call single for the Lord. She was not called to religious life, was not called to holy matrimony, was definitely called to a life of holiness, to fan and to flame the graces of her baptism, and she lived single for the Lord. And then she died. And I remember as a teenager reading this saying, whoa, what? No, where's the happy ending, right? Where's the great victory? Where is like her being vanquished being victorious and her enemies vanquished, right? Where's the happy ending of this? And I can honestly remember being very torn by this, thinking, that's a saint? Why would I do that? She lived practically a miserable life by worldly standards. By worldly standards. Truth be told, it took me some time and growth in my own discipleship to really understand the life of St. Kateri. Because her life can only be understood from the light of heaven, from the perspective of eternity. Yesterday's homily could be called Hell is Real. Today, I think our homily can be entitled Heaven is Real. In the life of St. Kateri and of all of our holy ones, they show us the reality of heaven. Because this was a woman whose entire life only makes sense because she lived every moment for heaven. At any point, she could have indulged herself. She could have gone into prostitution, which was very popular among the Native American women with the European colonists. She could have done anything. Lived according to the flesh, sought to make a fast buck, do whatever she had to satisfy her own self or try to make her own way in the world. Instead, she accepted every twist and turn, every disappointment, every suffering as a mark of God's divine providence. And she lived her life accordingly. She lived a simple life. Her life would have been unknown, except so many people after her death were so moved by her. And they had to tell the story of Kateri, that kind young woman who maybe wasn't beautiful to look at in this world, but was beautiful by grace. Incidentally, after her death, all of her scarring was completely removed. And when they exhumed her body, she was without scars and completely intact. See, grace always wins, dear friends. And I guess maybe that's the happy ending, right? The fact that she gained her prize in heaven. The fact that God would bless her afterwards. Do you realize that our lives as Christians is completely marked, our entire life is marked by the perspective of heaven? This is why the unbeliever looks at us and we look as silly and perhaps as miserable as that teenager that I was years ago, decades ago, when I read the life of this saint, right? Our lives look just as sad and miserable to the unbeliever. You give your money to the poor? You work hard for that money. You go the extra mile in selfless service, even to the people who are unkind to you. You forgive people. What's wrong with you Christians, right? It doesn't make any sense by worldly standards. But our entire life is marked by the perspective of heaven. In fact, we know in our moral tradition that the end does not justify the means, right? But the end orders the means. And we were made for heaven, dear friends. God wants us to be with him forever in his divine family. The scriptures tell us that we get to heaven, God will heal every hurt, reconcile every brokenness, will wipe every tear from our eye, and we will live forever with God in complete happiness. That's what we were made for. And it's precisely that reality, that hope that we have in Jesus Christ that orders everything else so we can endure the sufferings and the hardships. We carry the disappointments and the heartaches. We accept the physical ailments and so on. We accept all these things as paths to get to heaven and we offer them redemptively. We seek the help of the sacraments, the consolations of God, even when this fallen world offers us no consolations. By worldly standards, again, St. Kateri's life was pretty terrible, miserable even, right? By worldly standards. But that holy woman held a hope in her heart that this world cannot understand, a hope that was given from above, a hope that eventually gave her eternal life, and that was shown by the disappearance of those scars and by her beautiful body after death. In our lives, we have to understand this is the call that we have accepted. If we keep looking for the earthly blessings, right? Somehow God's supposed to give us some type of temporal blessing, right? So I forgave my neighbors. I did the right thing. I tithed. I had to tighten my belt. So God's supposed to bless me. I'm supposed to get something good. There's supposed to be some great happy ending in this life. God never promised that. God has promised us heaven, a share in his resurrection. And in the process of getting to that resurrection, the only thing he has promised us is a cross. And to those of us who are willing to accept that cross, to embrace it, rather than be dragged by it, God's grace will make us fit for the kingdom of God, and then we can be with him. Today we honor a holy woman. Isn't it great that we honor this woman who lived over some 400 years ago? Because holiness is a participation in eternity. And her devout life, however difficult by worldly standards, merited her eternity in Christ. I pray that as we honor and ask the intercession of this holy woman, that our own discipleship, we also are willing to accept the hardships of this life, the disappointments, the heartaches, whatever they might be, and that we cling as faithfully as St. Kateri to the sacrament and to the ways of God, that all of the sufferings of this world can be used redemptively for our good and for the good of all his holy church.